Welcome to the Round 3 Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone, it's trading week.
Yeah, all important trade week. We got to do all our corrective trades, get those good rookies in that we missed out on and trade out those dud mid prices. So just before we jump into things, Mark, let's update everyone with where we finished up ranking for round two. I'm ranked 644th after last round.
Woo!
Pretty good, top 1,000. So I'm very happy with that and looking to climb again. But I noticed, Mark, in Sportle, I went up to 12th, but you've overtaken me with a massive week and you're sitting in 10th.
Yeah, I have top 10 weeks in Sportle and Centibet, and in Centibet I'm currently 8th and Sportle 10th. I'm sure that my luck will run out and I will drop pretty quickly, but happy to be dominating in a couple of competitions. And I think we're both in the top couple of hundred of Dream Team as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know a lot more about those competitions. In Supercoach, I'm ranked 6,098th after being 24,000 week one. I'm pretty stoked with that. Ready to get some trades happening and make up some more positions.
What's the structure of the show going to be like, Mark? I know you've got some questions from Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, so we're going to look at people who should be trading out and the players that are going to be targets to be trading in, and then we'll answer some of those questions that we got on social media. So first trade out target is Jack Watts. This is a bit of a gimme, don't you think? Guaranteed trade out based on his performance so far.
Yeah, it didn't quite work out and subbed on the weekend off a bad performance and definitely out of all the teams. Karnesis is another one that was affected by the sub, but he actually started as the sub and was one of the reasons a lot of people found rolling lockout such a headache. Those that missed out on him had to cop a 9 instead of some people had Dwyer come on for 110. So I suspect a few people would be looking at trading out Karnesis, though if you've got more important rookie correction trades or Watts to trade out, for example, Karnesis may not necessarily be the most important player because you doubt that he stays the substitute.
For sure. If he's named this week and isn't the sub, then I don't think guaranteed trade out. Obviously, it's a very unfortunate situation if you do have him, which most people do, because now it's going to be really difficult for him to make money and it's going to take him a bit longer to do so. Brisbane have a reasonable draw coming up. Suns this week, Melbourne in a couple of weeks. So he definitely has the potential there to get some decent scores out and get that money-making capacity happening for you. I think he's going to be in the firing line for a lot of teams, though, just because of that. Like, he brought him in to make money, and he doesn't look like he's going to do it. You could go to Dwyer, Kennedy, Lewenberger. There's plenty of options that he will be looking to bring in. So he will be going out of my team this week.
And 30 trades, might as well be aggressive about it, I guess. So
yeah, you've already used two, mate.
Yeah, I've used a couple, and I'm still looking to where I can actually continue to use trades this week. But having made already two correction trades, I'm struggling a little bit, but I'll try and find something creative to do.
Got to just use those trades for fun, huh?
Yeah.
Next player we want to look at is Basher Hooley, who's actually started really poorly. He looked really good in the NAB, so I can understand why people picked him. Richmond have had a couple of wins, and he hasn't dominated as much as you would have hoped. I guess there's a lot of competition points down at the Tigers. And at about 440K, he's sort of a difficult price, and I think you probably could have had Heppel instead or other options. I think people with Newman are probably in a similar boat. Do you reckon you'd keep either of those guys?
I would probably seek to trade him out just because his price tag is significant enough for me to be wanting to direct my funds to something much more productive. 445K is a lot of money. Yaron probably swapped out on the basis that his role seems to be a bit changed this year and still not too sure exactly where he'll end up playing permanently. I'm not sure if this is a permanent move or not, so.
Well, yeah, because he sort of played forward round one, but then Eddie Betts was missing round two, so he was always sort of going to play forward and actually played a really, really good first or second and third quarter anyway, and then just went missing in the last quarter. He could have easily had a big score in the end, but just went missing when the game was on the line. I think most teams will have bigger problems than Yaron. I don't think he's a must trade out. He scored 85. He could continue to score a reasonable amount. But his role is a bit of a concern, and if you don't have bigger issues going down, the rookies are just scoring so well. You've got Pittard, Stevenson, Heath, Brown, Goods, all really tearing it up. So if you don't have one of them, Yaron to one of them and take their cash could be a pretty good move this week. A favourite of this show is Jared Ruffett, or at least he was last year. This year we were a bit more sceptical about him just because he felt fully priced. Hawthorn had a really tough start to the year. And there's a bit more doubt this year about his role with Bailey being fit and having Hale, Bailey and Ruffy all in the same team and whether he can play up the ground a little bit. Now, he dominated in the first half against West Coast, but he also went missing and has really put in two pretty poor performances in the first couple of weeks. Do you think if you had him, you'd be looking to move him on?
Certainly. Ryder is another one that hasn't been performing quite up to scratch with the ruck forward eligibility.
Ryder, I'm actually a little bit more bullish on than Roughhead, just because Ruffy's a better forward than Ryder, but Ryder is at least the number two ruck, and we know that he's going to be playing that role every week, so he will get some on-the-ball time. Looking at his ground stats as well, he averages a lot more at Etihad than he does anywhere else, and he hasn't played there yet, and we play Fremantle over in Perth this week, which the expanses should suit him reasonably well, and then we have a pretty big string of games that Eddie had. So personally, I have Ryder and I'm going to keep the faith. I can understand why people would be ditching him, though. I mean, we absolutely destroyed Melbourne on Saturday night and he didn't quite perform.
Patrick Dangerfield scored 107 on the weekend, so that pushed his average up from 60 to now about 85, but he's still set to plummet in price. I think his break-even's one of the highest at 201. I'm assuming you're going to agree with me, Mark. He's a definite keeper.
Just because I've got bigger problems in my side. I mean, he won them the game on the weekend. He was over 70 points 10 minutes into the second quarter and only managed 107, so I still find that actually to be pretty concerning, that he just went missing for a good couple of quarters. That is a bit of a worry, and I do worry about his consistency, but I've got way bigger problems to deal with than Dangerfield, and he should average over 110 by the end of the year. So fortunately, it looks like people are going to be able to pick him up a bit cheaper, but if he has a big one in the next couple of games, then a price decrease might actually be too early for the upgraders, and they might miss out on their chance on Danger. So I guess that's what I'm hoping for, and hopefully you can have a big showdown this week. I'll be keeping him.
Hamish Hartlett scored 38 on the weekend and had some issues with his back. Now, there's some doubt over whether he'll actually get up for this next game, isn't there, Mark?
Yeah, it hasn't really been spoken about too much, but considering he had back bruising, he only played 61% game time and didn't come back after the 6 minute of the last quarter. That does put a little bit of concern over Hartlett, but I mean, it was only a week ago that people were going way out of their way to try and bring him in. So if he is fit and plays, I don't expect him to score the 128 that he every week like he did in the first round, as I think he's probably going to be the number one tag target for Port Adelaide. And as they come into some tougher games, he might struggle a little bit. But given his upside and what he showed in week one and the goal he kicked on the weekend, I wouldn't be looking to trade him out at this stage. Essentially, his price drop doesn't really matter. If he's a keeper for your team, whether he goes up or down is not a huge factor for you. It's the points that matter in the end.
And you still think, looking at what he's done in the first 2 weeks and looking at his price, it's still a good price to get him at. I would be happy to bring him in to my team if I had to bring a defender in right now. So definitely wouldn't be looking to trade him out. Scooter Selwood, not quite performing up to scratch with the tagging jobs that he's had to do, but the word is Kerr might be back soon, which will relieve Shuey, which will relieve Scotty Selwood too.
Potentially, and they do have Melbourne this week. If they didn't have Melbourne this week, I think I probably would be moving Selwood on, because he showed last year when he was tagging that he can have some really big games as a tagger, but definitely affects his scoring. It does bring it down a little bit. So that would worry me a bit. And at his price, maybe you could find someone else. But Melbourne this week, you'd think he'd go big against them, especially after what happened last weekend. The final player I want to look at on the trade-out target is Daniel Rich. Now, I think both of us decided not to pick him preseason because we thought he'd get tagged and his performance would therefore go down, which is basically what's happened. So I think that both of us would be like, yeah, just get rid of him, because we wouldn't have picked him to begin with. But with Fife and Mundy at a similar price, would you consider trading him across?
Yeah, if you had a lot of faith in either Fife or Mundy, but based on what I've seen over the first couple of weeks, I wouldn't necessarily have enough faith to say that that's a definitive worthwhile trade, just because every time you do the side swaps, it becomes a bit more dangerous because it's always more marginal. So probably look to something more definitive. For example, a lot of people dealing with, you know, Karnesis. So if you can look Karnesis down to Dwyer, then you can upgrade Rich to a bona fide premium. Joe Watson looks like he's in for brilliant year again. So that's what I'd be looking to do personally, or go down to a rook. The 8 midfield slots, in my personal view, is they should be filled with all players that are averaging 115 plus, because I think there are enough midfielders in the competition to be able to do that. So Rich definitely doesn't fall into that category for mine. Fife or Mundy might not actually fall into those categories either. And if you're doing a side swap, I think you might as well go to an ultra premium for your midfield.
Yeah, for reasonable strategy, I think I'm probably rate Fife and Mundy and where they're going a little bit higher than that. So I'd be quite comfortable bringing either of those two into my team. And Fremantle look the goods this year. So if they are going to finish top four, then Fife and Mundy are definitely going to be in for big seasons. Now, We need to look at some players that we're going to trade in. If we're going to trade all these guys out, who should we be looking to get in? Now, he's your man at the moment, Josh Kennedy. I think he's going to be at the top of most people's list. Watts to Kennedy or Karnezis to Kennedy trade look
Gee.
pretty simple this week.
That's so annoying too, Mark. 109, 103 in his first 2 weeks. So,
And
yeah.
Melbourne this week.
West Coast have a nice draw, so definitely bring him in. I think it's a no-brainer for mine. And that 75 inside 50s mark across the first two games, and he's kicked like 9 goals. So,
If they can raise that by a lot, which they should be able to with their easier draw, then thinking that he could even go higher.
and I'm thinking you owe me some kudos for this excellent pick.
Yeah, I think they just lucked out there, buddy. Yeah, look, I'll be probably looking to bring him in, unfortunately. So I'm going to have to get on board. I've been barracking against him for the last couple of weeks, but he's going to be on my cheering for target now. Now, the next one, probably the most controversial, and that's Matty Leuenberger. Had his first game on the weekend and posted a nice 100. Do you reckon that people should be looking to bring him in after one game?
Not too sure quite where to place Louis. I'm not too sure how he's going to average for the year, but signs from round two were really good, considering he went up against Sam Jacobs. I thought he performed really well. But then again, Jacobs struggles around ground, and Louis' strength is probably around ground. But even in the hitouts, he performed quite well. So the main thing is, with his limited preseason, how will he back up? I think, Mark, you said last episode that this round could be even harder for Louis than his first back for the season, and that's certainly going to prove true, I think.
Yeah, because he will be a bit sore, you'd think, after not playing a full game of AFL for a while.
So the main issue is just whether his body can hold up for the whole season. Yeah, it's just a really demanding season, and most rucks generally break down at some point or need a rest. And considering he had a limited preseason, you'd think that he's going to be very susceptible to that sort of thing. So, but you'd think that at the least he's still going to average like 95. So from that
Which
point of
is a
view,
great get as a mid price. So like you'd back him to average more than Kennedy from here, and they're the same price. Probably a little bit more bullish about it than you, mate. I think he might struggle a little bit this week, but I think he will get going. My main concern is what happens if he gets injured. Because if you go to Leuenberger now and then he gets injured this week or in 2 weeks and he's priced at 300K in the rucks, you're actually in a really difficult situation. That does concern me a little bit, but I think that Louis has the potential to be one of the dominant rucks in the competition. I think he could easily average 105 for the year. It could even possibly go higher. Reminds me a lot of Marek as a pick from last year, just those mid-priced rucks, which I know that you've certainly loved in the past, Marcus. So yeah, I'm actually a big raps for Louis. I think he could prove pretty important. Like if he had played round one, he would have been a lock for pretty much every team. They have Suns this week. You can always wait on Leuenberger for next week, but I think he hopefully will put in a big performance against the Suns this week, and I'm really looking forward to getting on board the Leuenberger train. Now, next player we're going to look at is Dwyer. At the start of the year, everyone was like, there's no forward rookies available. What are we going to do? And now there looks like there's a few. Rowe played on the weekend. McCaffer hasn't started great, but if he can keep his spot this week, he might be on the improve. Need scored really well on the weekend. And Dwyer, he was absolutely fantastic against the Blues. Just he kicked a ripping goal. He had speed. He beat people around the ground. Collingwood have generally been pretty good with rookies. If a rookie deserves to hold their spot, then they get to hold their spot, a la Jared Blair a couple of years ago. So there's a fair chance that he could keep his spot, even with all the talent coming back, and average 80 plus, which if he did that, he would almost be a must-have.
I think the main boon to his selection for mine is the flexibility that he provides with the mid forward. I like that if I bring him into my midfield, I know a lot of people didn't start a mid forward rookie in your midfield, but putting Dwyer in means that your first upgrade could potentially be, Kennedy all the way up to a Trent Cotchin or Jobe Watson. So just the ability to be able to make your first upgrade. I know a lot of people have mid prices in the forward line, but not in the midfield. To be able to swing those players into the midfield for your first upgrade seems like a pretty nifty trick.
When you mention names like Cotchin and Watson, that certainly gets me excited, Marcus. But surely the biggest concern with Dwyer has got to be job security. And like they have some serious talent, like just Thomas and Beams, those two coming back. If they come back very soon, then surely that's going to put a bit of pressure on his spot. Another player that's come up a lot in discussions this week is Dixon from the Suns. He was absolutely brilliant on the weekend. He roved a goal. He moved around the ground brilliantly, took contested marks, playing second ruck. And I think he scored a couple of 130s in the first 2 weeks, like absolutely dominating, about 390,000 in the back line. Is he a realistic target to be aiming for this week?
Now, with Gold Coast doing pretty well in the first two rounds, sort of makes me wonder whether we got the assessment on the Suns a bit wrong, Mark, because we wiped them off last year and this year they're all awkwardly priced, so we wiped them off again. But really, they're entering their third year breakout year, and this is the greatest talent in the land, supposedly. So,
except for the Giants.
Yeah, except for the Giants, who we might be looking at a lot more closely next year now. But yeah, so he might actually be a realistic target. It's probably a bit too much risk for mine at that price point. I'd rather go down all the way to a rookie. Like I said, I think you can support four rookies in the back line. So if I was trading in the back line, I'd actually look to cash in with a rookie and just funnel my cash somewhere else.
Look, I really, really like him as a player, and I'm a big rap for Dixon, but I'm just not sure he could keep up that sort of scoring. So for me, I'd probably give him a miss. But then it just seems like a real risky, unique sort of selection that could turn out really poorly. It could turn out quite good, but I don't think he's going to like win you the game. So in that sense, it's probably too much of a risk for me. I just want to go through some of these rookies. If you give some quick response about whether you think that how important they are. Luke Brown.
I think I said it a few times now, but you can see why they gave up a high compo pick for him. Scored 97 on the weekend, and he's able to do this despite having to play a defensive job. I think he's one of the high trading targets. And to be honest, looking at Brown, Heath, and Stevenson, I'd probably have Brown number one ahead of Heath and Stevenson moving forward.
Yeah, I'd probably have him behind Stevenson, but ahead of Heath. I don't think he's going to score 97 every week. If you don't have Brett Goods, obviously you have to get him. Yep. Viney, would you go out of your way to get Viney?
I think O'Meara, Wines, Viney, I'd go out of my way to get. Pittard's the same, I think, in the back line. Yeah,
that sort of covers most of the absolute must-have rookies, I think. There's a few others out there coming through, like the Crouches that we've already spoken about. Let's get on to some questions that we've gotten. James Hawkins says, which premium priced player is the biggest must-have with the impending price change, Pendlebury or Watson? Pendlebury for me.
Pendlebury for me too, Mark.
All right. Lorenzo Nevin asks, what to do with Vastuun in my mids and looking to get Crouch next week and Doherty? I think if you have two non-playing rookies, then you should just be looking to get them out as soon as possible.
Yeah, side swap for both for mine.
Jeff Palmer says, Port rookie defenders, so many options. Who to start, Pittard, Stevenson, or Heath? Pittard would have to be first, wouldn't he?
Yeah, rebounding defender, pushes up into the midfield enough, so he sees a lot of the ball and he's a good decision maker. I think the real question is Stevenson v. Heath. Stevenson gets really good points from intercept marks, and Heath gets a little bit more of the ball around the ground, but doesn't quite use it as effectively, generally more of a distributor. So Heath seems like he has to do more on field to get the same amount of points as Stevenson. Watching the game, while I feel like I should be picking Heath ahead of Stevenson, when I look at the points at the end of the game, I think I'm going to be starting Stevenson ahead of Heath.
Yep, me too. Shane Campbell asks, Rucks, take an ultra premio Jacobs or look at the riskier options in Cruiser, Goldstein, or Leuenberger? Leuenberger for me, I'd take Goldie and Cruiser before Jacobs as well.
I'll have it. Louis 1, Cruiser 2, Goldie 3, Jacobs 4.
There's not a lot of love for Jacobs on this show, unfortunately. Brad Duffin asks, what do I do with Big Tex Walker? He has definitely started a bit poorly.
He's one that I class similarly to Buddy. I'd only do it if you need the funds to do something else. I wouldn't recommend doing a side swap, but I'd certainly not be looking to trade him out unless you needed the cash from a downgrade to do something else.
All right, last question we've got is Ollie Wines a must-have? It looked like he was after round one, but after round two and he only posted 51. There's a bit more doubts there. What do you think? I know that you had your doubts preseason about starting him.
Yeah, I certainly did. And I was tossing up Wines or Stevens. But after watching what he's capable of doing, I think just back Wines. The main thing is he's not going to be a sub anytime soon, I don't think. So that's good enough for a rookie with such high scoring potential.
Would you swap Stevens for Wines?
That's a tough call.
I'd say no, because I expect Stevens to not be the sub. And then once he's not the sub, he should be able to average about 80 or so. He should be able to average not a lot less than one.
Yeah, that's probably a good call, Mark.
All right, man. It's been a very big show, and it's a huge week for Supercoaches. This is the chance that you get to correct any mistakes you might have made or pick up the players that you weren't quite sure that they were going to do so well. So good luck to everyone with their decisions, because these are decisions early have the biggest impact, because you get 20 odd rounds of them in your team.
And don't forget, sign up with our Supercoach group. If you're doing well, you can still sign up to our group and go on the running to win $1,000.
$1,000.
But I have to warn you guys, the current leader of our Supercoach coach group is actually also the number one overall leader of Supercoach at the moment. So it's very stiff competition, but nonetheless, it's a free comp, so you might as well get in there. And of course, every week we're still giving out money for the best weekly article. So do come on board and join in on the discussion. In the article comments and in our forum, there's some good activity going on there.
Yeah, we've had some brilliant articles written in the last week and heaps talking about which trades you should and shouldn't make and who you should be looking at. So if you want some more information, definitely get across and click on the trading button and read some of those articles.
All right, we'll catch you guys next week. See ya.
See ya.